you to grab your copy of God's Word and go with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, as you're turning there, here's just a means of encouragement for you today. Right now, at the 11:30 hour, for the first time in the history of the North Campus, an adult life group for our special friends ministry is meeting at this hour and having life group together. And so I am so excited about what God is doing here at Prestonwood and the way in which He is growing our special needs ministry. Yesterday, our special needs ministry had an adult weekend retreat, and all day they met together and were reminded of the joy of the Lord, and so much fun to be around our adults with special needs and just to see the investment that God is making in our church through those friends. And so I can't wait even in the next few weeks to unveil the new special ministry suite to all of you. You are going to be blown away when you see space and what God is doing here and the way in which we're going to be able to serve just so many families that are affected by disability. God has truly been good to us. Okay, now, this is the third week of a small series we've had on the subject of the Holy Spirit. The first 2 weeks, we covered the supernatural promise of God, and then last week, we talked about the supernatural presence of God. And just by way of reminder, quick recap, if you want to go back and watch those sermons, they're always available to you online. But here is the big idea of kind of what we saw from the scriptures just in these last couple of weeks leading up to today. When we talked about the supernatural promise in week one, here's the four things we said: that despite the fact that we often misunderstand and relegate the role of the Holy Spirit to something less than God intends for us to see and know, the Holy Spirit is prominent. From beginning to end of Scripture, we see that the Spirit of God is prominent throughout. And so we need not be a people who exaggerate or excuse, but rather we want to encounter what God has given to us, which is the prominent and person of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a force, but He is a person. How do we know that? Because He can be lied to, He can be grieved, and He is to be obeyed. Well, you don't obey things, you obey people. And so we know about the prominent person of the Holy Spirit. But in addition to that, we know that He was promised, that God said, I'm going to give you a gift. And beyond salvation, it's the greatest gift entrusted to His church, which is God in us. In fact, Jesus would say, there's something greater than me with you, it's me in you. And that is the supernatural promised presence of God's Holy Spirit. And then lastly, we know that the Holy Spirit is not only prominent, not only is He a person, not only has He been promised, but He's been provided. That the Bible records in Acts chapter 2 that when the church was born, it's the Spirit of God that fell and has subsequently been filling and fueling the church to continue the work of the ministry even up until right now. But then last week we said, okay, let's talk more than just the promise of God. Let's talk about the supernatural presence of God in the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said a couple things. One, we know that the Holy Spirit is a helper. And remember, I brought friends on stage who helped me last week illustrate this big idea that sometimes we'll think of God as just an authority. He's only an authority. He's always out front. He's always over. And while that is true, He isn't only an authority. And sometimes we'll think of God as a critic, that He's constantly nipping at us and wanting to catch us and wanting to correct us. And while He certainly brings about correction through conviction, and that is true, Jesus describes the Holy Spirit as a helper who comes along the side of, right? That God wants to not only be our authority and not only be our coach, but He wants to help us. He wants to aid us. He wants to assist us in everything entrusted to us. And then we said, okay, He's a helper, but He's also for our advantage. And so what are the advantages that the Spirit of God gives? Well, we know that the Spirit of God reveals truth to us. That's what Jesus said. We know that He guides us. And we know that He brings a transcendent peace. I gave you the illustration of my friend who's lost a child in the last couple of weeks. And then, lastly, we said that, okay, the advantage is that He glorifies Jesus and that He advances the good news of the gospel. And so today we're going to not just see the promise, we're not just going to see the presence, but I want us to embrace what I would argue is perhaps the most significant reality about the gift of the Holy Spirit that limits the work of Christ followers and the church today. And that is foregoing or ignoring the supernatural power of God's Holy Spirit. The supernatural power. And here's the deal. Power is a funny thing. Because power is something we are somewhat aware of, altogether grateful for, but we don't give a lot of consideration or thought to, right? Unless that power is externally visible, then it's not necessarily something that we think about. You understand the differences between external visible power and hidden power, or that which cannot necessarily be as easily seen. So if you've ever gone to the gym, in every gym there is always that one person that is huge. And they end up lifting an obscene amount of weight, right? And they're grunting and making noises and banging the plates together, right? And it's just obnoxious. And I'm on the elliptical just trying to lose a few pounds, right? And they're just making all this noise. And then they stand up from the bench press and you realize somebody skipped leg day. But nevertheless, it's a visible expression of power when you see that strength. I have a friend who has a really nice sports car. And when you get in that car, you can feel the power. Like, it's visible. You can feel when he revs the engine, you're keenly aware of the visible power. But what about invisible? What about the power that is hidden? When we go home today, we'll walk in our houses, we'll flip on the switch, right? And we won't see the power surging through the walls, but we'll know the light comes on. When we lay down tonight, we'll hit the fan on the ceiling fan in our bedrooms, and we won't watch the power surge through the wall from the switch to the socket, but we will be grateful that the fan starts turning around, right? Jesus says that this is the way in which the Spirit works, that sometimes the church will negate the power of God's Spirit simply because it isn't always as visible an expression of what is a harnessed supernatural source that comes only from God. In fact, Jesus would describe the Holy Spirit like the wind. I met a buddy for breakfast on Wednesday morning, and I don't know if you guys remember, this last Wednesday we had a storm that blew through just about 8 o'clock, 7:30. We had a storm that blew through North Texas, and it moved from north to south, and for a moment it was kind of powerful. The wind was really whipping around, and so I was in the restaurant waiting for my buddy to show up, and I could look outside and see these trees were kind of bending over. Well, I didn't see the wind, but I could certainly see the effects of its power and the way in which they were moving the tree around. Well, listen, don't you think that those of us who are filled with the Spirit of God, there ought to be some effects to the work and ministry of Jesus in our life? There ought to be some things that are moving for all the right reasons because the source of strength that God alone gives. This is what Jesus would say, John chapter 3, verse 8. You don't have to turn there. It's on the screen behind me. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So listen, here's what we know. We've acknowledged this each week of this little mini series. We are incapable in and of ourselves to accomplish everything that God has entrusted to us if it's simply based upon the strength and resources we can harness or create ourselves. We're incapable. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come so you can have life and have it abundantly. The abundant life is impossible in and of our own strength. But it's entirely possible when we harness the supernatural source that God has given us that will enable us to fulfill everything entrusted to us. So we're going to see what this looks like with a people, the church, when the Spirit of God is the source of strength that enables it to move. Let's go. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And we'll start reading in verse number 4. We'll read together through verse 8. Acts 1:4. If you're there, say, I got it. Here we go. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, at this time are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It's not for you to know the times, the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." Verse 8, "But you will receive power." If you mark or highlight in your Bibles, I want you to get that word power, and I'll tell you why. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses." Underline that word witnesses. "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Now, I want to remind you of the context. Jesus has had a last 40 days that have kind of been kind of up and down, let's be honest. Jesus died for the sins of the world. He resurrected for salvation of those who trust in him. He's then restored the disciples that were severed in their relationship with Christ. And now he's giving final instruction to his disciples about a source of power that is coming that God is going to provide that is going to enable them to do everything he desires for them to do. So Jesus says there's going to be something significant. His statement is rather simple, but his meaning is quite profound. Jesus says power's coming. Jesus says my power comes with my Holy Spirit. And yet, family, because it has been my limited experience that the power of the Holy Spirit is something many Christians know little about, we walk ignorantly apart from it. We live limited, simple, ineffective lives for Jesus Christ, not because we don't have the desire and not because we're not saved, but rather because we are forfeiting the greatest source of strength in which we could tap into to do the great work entrusted to each and every one of us. So I want to give our time today to what I think is most significant for the Christian life to be fulfilled. I want us to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to every person who trusts in Jesus Christ. If you're a note taker, let me encourage you to write this down. The first thought I have is this: the Holy Spirit gives us a supernatural power. Quite simple, but quite obvious and needs to be said. The Holy Spirit gives us a supernatural power. Verse 8 specifically, Jesus says, you will receive power. That is, by the way, the Greek word dunamis. It can also be translated as strength or as might. And if it sounds familiar, perhaps you're drawing on Romans 1, 16 and 17. In fact, our staff has been memorizing this since we started our series in Romans. You can go up to any one of our ministry staff members and ask them, and they will quote to you Romans 1, 16 and 17, which says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? It is the power. It is the dunamis. Same word. It means where we get our English word dynamite is found rooted in this source here. It's the idea of a transformational, an explosive type of power that God gives to us. It's the power to explode a person's life when they experience salvation, and it's a power that will cause the church to blow up and to grow out. This is explosive Holy Spirit power. And so, what should we know about it? Well, the first thing is this: the Holy Spirit's the source of it. The Holy Spirit's the source. Listen, are you not grateful today that you're not responsible in and of your own strength for the power that is going to be required to fulfill every role entrusted to you? The role of spouse, the role of sister, the role of brother, the role of friend. Aren't you grateful that it's not your strength that you draw upon that will enable you to fulfill that role? You can't be the husband she deserves. You can't be the mom that they deserve. You can't be the employee that your boss and your company deserve if you're drawing on your own strength. But you can absolutely do that when you draw on the strength, because the Spirit is the source of it. It's so important that we recognize our power source is not our best effort. It's important that we recognize our power source is not our good deeds. It's important that we recognize our power source is not our upbringing or our pedigree, what we have done or have not. Our power source is nothing less than the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, because that's true, the life of a Christian, if you belong to God in Christ, is not a life of weakness and defeat. It's a life of victory. It's a life of positivity. It's a life of anything is possible, because as we just sang a moment ago, God can do anything but fail. And so Jesus would talk about this in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. He speaks to his disciples and says, behold, I'm sending a promise of my Father upon you. And stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high. I love that word clothed. It means to be dressed in or to be immersed or covered. It's like the idea every day when we get dressed, after we get a shower, we start getting dressed, putting on our belt, putting on our shirt. We can be reminded in that moment that we have a power source that we can immerse ourselves in, and it isn't our strength. Like, did you think, like when you put on your shirt today, did you think about that? Like, okay, God, I'm choosing today in this physical moment to acknowledge that I have a power source available to me. It's going to enable me to fulfill this role as husband, wife, friend, daughter, son, leader. right? Because there's a source of strength. We have a power source living within us that God has uniquely given to us that enables us to live as he has called and commanded us to live. When I lived in East Texas, Mary and I had a wood-burning fireplace. And so every year about this time, just as the weather was beginning to start to cool off, there were guys in the church that had land. And I would always ask, hey, man, have you had a tree go down any time in the last year where I could come get some firewood? And so inevitably, there was always somebody who had firewood available for me to go cut. And so I had a buddy in Gilmer, and he had a tree that had fallen in the last year or so. And he had just cut it up into logs. And so he's like, yeah, man, come out and bring Coleman, and we'll split the firewood together. And I was like, oh, that'd be awesome. So it was like guy time, right? So Coleman and I go out there, and we're working with my buddy Jeff. And I brought my axe, and Jeff had his axe. And so he's like, you want to go first? You want me to? And I was like, I get it. So I started taking the logs, and I started splitting the firewood, right? And I was just swinging away with everything I had. And after I got tired and exhausted, he said, hey, let me jump in. Then he started splitting firewood. And then and when he got tired, Coleman jumped in, and he took a few swings and was splitting some firewood. And then, and so we worked and worked, and we were in a lather, and we were exhausted. I was panting, and we had a small pile of logs. And then he goes, hey, bro, let me go get the splitter. Why are you, Jeff, dude, he said, yeah, I got a splitter in the barn. It'll go much faster. Dude. So then he goes to the barn and he brings out a hydraulic log splitter, right? And so we spent the rest of the afternoon splitting these logs with this hydraulic log splitter, and we went from having in our own strength a very small pile of logs ready to burn to having a mountain of things because we were harnessing power available. Well, church family, you with me now? So there's so many of us that are swinging away in our strength with our best effort, with everything we can muster and we can give. And we're chopping as hard as we can, and we're working ourselves into a lather, and we're exhausted and we're tired and we're panting in between every swing, and we're making a very small pile of ministry. But there is a mountain of ministry that God can do in you and through you when you'll harness the supernatural power available to you, which is His Holy Spirit. I wonder if any of you have walked in here today and your arms are tired because you've been swinging in your own strength, resting in your own ability and gifting. And listen, you're a gifted people. No question about it. You and I have natural giftings and ability and ways in which God has wired us to work that would make it possible for us to make a difference. It just won't be the difference absent of the source of power that is available to you and me. The Holy Spirit is our source. Here's the second reality, and this one blew me away. The power is the same. The Holy Spirit gives the exact same power to us that He gave to Jesus Christ. Has that ever dawned on you? Because when I started thinking through that this week, I was like, just reminded of this reality, the same power which fueled the life and the ministry of Jesus Christ is available to fuel your life and mine. It's available to drive and to motivate and to make possible everything needed in your life and in mine. Did you realize that after defeating the enemy Satan in the wilderness just prior to beginning his life and earthly ministry? So the Bible records that when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River, right, the Holy Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and then Jesus faced temptation from Satan. You know this. And Jesus overcame that temptation by quoting scripture to the enemy Satan. The Bible says that then Jesus returned to Galilee and then began 3 years of earthly ministry, pouring into these disciples and readying a people to receive God. And here's what takes place. The Bible says that as Jesus then returned from his wilderness temptation and was ready to embark on his earthly ministry, he tapped into a source of power that often gets overlooked. Look what it says. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out throughout all the surrounding country. Listen, if it was good enough for Jesus, wouldn't it be good enough for us? In fact, this shouldn't be a surprise to us. It was no surprise to the early church The early church knew that Jesus drew on the power of the Holy Spirit. I think that's why the early church tapped into the Spirit so significantly in ways that you and I seem to have neglected or forgotten all about. Because they knew it was a power that Jesus needed, and therefore they must have known it was a power that they needed as well. When Peter gets pressed and asked about, okay, what is the source of strength for the life and ministry of Christ that you keep telling us so much about? In Acts chapter 10, verses 37 and 38, Peter says, "You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who have been oppressed by the devil, for God was with him." Well, how was God with Jesus? Through the power of his Holy Spirit. How is God with you and me? You ready? Look up here. Through the same power that he gave to Jesus Christ. The same source. The Holy Spirit that was good enough for Jesus is the Holy Spirit that should be good enough for you and me. A couple of years ago for Christmas, Mary asked me for a Roomba. Do y'all know what a Roomba is? Like the robot vacuum, and ours is named Rosie, and so we have Rosie the Roomba, and when Rosie gets tired after she's been zipping around the house, you know, and she gets tired after a while, she has an orange indicator light on the top of her, and I keep saying her like she's a person, you know, but we talk about her like that. So she has an orange indicator light that says low battery. It starts flashing because Rosie needs to plug in. She needs to dock and she needs to recharge. Okay, I can just tell that some of your battery is flashing. I don't know what it is that's draining you. I don't know if it's your marriage. I don't know if it's your mental health. I don't know if it's a circumstance at work. I'm not sure if it's a child who's far from God. I'm not sure what exactly is draining your battery. It could be all of the above. But I believe there are some in here today whose battery is flashing. And maybe you're a little bit like Rosie, like you keep moving around and you're bumping into things and you're trying to do a work, but at the end of the day, you are failing to tap into the same source of power that fueled the life and ministry of Christ. You know, don't you remember in the Gospels, the Bible says Jesus got up early and he went to a desolate place and he prayed. Like, when's the last time we met with God? When's the last time we got here at this altar and we plugged in? Or are we just going to be a people who are content to banging around with our battery light constantly flashing on red alert? Don't you want to secure the same source that powered and fueled the life and ministry of Jesus, knowing that it is available to you and me? Or you just want to move around on low battery, making a small pile instead of the mountain of ministry that God might allow you to do? You with me? The Holy Spirit is our source of power, supernaturally. The second reality about this power that the Spirit gives, if you're writing notes, write this down. Our supernatural power has a supernatural purpose. Our supernatural power has a supernatural purpose. It's natural to want to ask yourself, okay, well, what would be the reason why God would entrust us with this power? If this same source of fuel that empowered the life and ministry of Jesus is available to you and to me, then for what? For what purpose? Well, remember the words of Jesus in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. I had you underline this a moment ago. Jesus says, "You're going to be my witnesses." My witnesses. Understand that the gift of the Holy Spirit is tied directly to the Great Commission of Christ. In fact, if you just think about the final words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, when Jesus starts giving last instruction to his disciples, his instruction concerns the coming arrival of the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but Jesus speaks and he says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that I've commanded you." And guess what? "And behold," what does Jesus say? "I'm going to be with you." Now, how is it that Jesus can say with confidence to his church that he's going to be with them unless he knows that the Holy Spirit is the gift that is going to be available, the source of strength that would be available, that power has a significant purpose, and he wants them to draw upon it so that they can do everything that God desires to be done. Jesus tied it directly to the Great Commission. In fact, I can't tell you how many times people have asked me, okay, so how do I know if a minister or a ministry is spirit empowered? Okay, Connor, how would I know that? Okay, here's how I would tell you. You ready? First of all, don't measure the miracles and don't measure the mania. Don't measure the miracles. Don't measure the mania. Pay attention to the message. Is Jesus preached? Are people being saved? And is Christ the hero of everything that is being done? That's how you know if it is truly a spirit-empowered ministry. Don't pay attention to the miracles. I'm not saying they're not great. I'm not saying God didn't give them. Don't pay attention to the mania, because we can hype up a lot of stuff. Pay attention to the message. Is the gospel preached? Are people being saved? And is Christ the hero of everything that is getting done? Because that's how you know. Right, because the power has purpose. Well, what's the purpose? It's to fuel the Great Commission of God. It's to advance the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. This is the purpose. This is like, you'd recognize the power didn't come so that you and I would just live really cool lives. It didn't come so that we could do some really cool things. It came, it's available, it's a source we tap into to advance the mission of God. Otherwise, we would be tempted to believe that the power is for us instead of available to us to bring glory to God and good for others around us. You with me? And yet, I know naturally there's a temptation in all of us to want to say, yeah, but I don't know about me. Like, I don't feel like I'm confident with the words to say, and I don't know if I'm good about picking up on the timing in which to say them. And I would say, here, I feel you. In fact, Jesus' disciples felt the exact same way. They didn't know if they would have the capacity and the discernment to know exactly what to say or when to say it. And yet Jesus said they shouldn't be worried about that. And why? Because Jesus said there's a source of power that's going to provide everything you need in the moment in which it is needed. In Luke chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, Jesus speaks to his disciples who were expressing the same kind of concern that I've seen manifest in so many of us. And Jesus says, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. Why? For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. Like, do you remember in Acts chapter 2? We read this last weekend, when the Spirit fell and the church was born. Do you remember that moment? Well, the Bible says this in Acts chapter 2, and each person was speaking in a different language, and they were declaring their public political opinion. No? Okay, each person was speaking in a different language, and they were declaring their favorite team. No. Okay, each person was speaking in a different language, and they were declaring the mighty works of God. Church, God, help us if people know where we stand politically, but don't know where we stand spiritually. This is the Holy Spirit's fuel. And we're tapping into a lot of sources of strength, but how often are we advancing the ministry and the mission of God? How often have we recognized the power has purpose and it's to advance God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven? And then you naturally want to say, well, Pastor, I don't have the gift of evangelism. There's no such thing. He gave evangelists to the church, but evangelists don't have the market cornered on the ministry of evangelism. In Matthew 28, he was talking to the church. He said, make disciples. Every one of us. There is no spiritual gift of evangelism. You can't find it in the scriptures. You can see where he gave prophets and teachers and evangelists to the church, but you can't see where he gave the gift of evangelism to one person and not the other. Listen, if you have been saved by Jesus Christ and indwelt with his Holy Spirit, then you have everything you need to preach the good news that could save somebody else. And far too often, we think about like we'll get, especially in our church, like not Prestonwood, but I mean like Baptist churches historically, sometimes we get so bogged down on methodology, like process and system and strategy. And I think all those things are good. Like, I love the three circles of evangelism. I do, because I found it to be a really easy entry point that anybody can relate to. But some of you grew up doing evangelism explosion. I praise God for that. Some of you memorized the Roman road many years ago. Praise God for that. Some of you do one verse evangelism, John 3:16. I praise God for that. Others of you, like, you have your own methodology. You use the Evangelcube, or you use the bridge illustration, the crosses in the middle. I love that. Praise God for each one of those things that are able to be redeemed and used to introduce Jesus to anyone who would need to know. But, like, absent the Holy Spirit, they're incapable of doing the work of salvation. I have I love nice cars. I don't drive one, but I like them. And if you've ever sat in a really nice luxury car that has, like, wood grain interior and, like, custom leather, and it's got the air conditioning that blows from the bottom up, so nice. It's got big navigation, it's got custom wheels and just custom paint. Have you ever seen one of those cars? You're just so impressed with them. You sit down in them, you're like, man, this is awesome. So nice, so comfy. But you realize they're worthless without gas in it. So it doesn't matter what methodology we have and what knowledge we know, absent of the fuel that is God's Holy Spirit. Look at me. We're not going anywhere. Like, we may look really good, but we're not getting down the road at all. We're not advanced. Like, our power has no purpose if we don't tap into the source of strength that is God's Holy Spirit. Impotent, lifeless, unable to do anything and everything that God has entrusted to us. Okay, but historically, biblically, it's been the Holy Spirit of God that has always fueled His church. Always fueled His church. In fact, in Acts chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible records this story about Peter, who was arrested for preaching the good news of God. He then gets brought in front of the very people who had him thrown in jail. And the Bible says this in Acts 4:8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, then boldly said to them. How about in Acts chapter 4, verse 31? Peter, James, and John get arrested because they, again, have been preaching about this resurrected Christ. And they get threatened and they get told, hey, don't talk about this Jesus anymore. And then the disciples return back to a prayer meeting where people were waiting with them to hear what had been done. And in verse 31 it says, and when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. How about when the church was growing to the point that they needed to raise up deacons to meet the ministry needs of the local body in Jerusalem? In Acts chapter 6, verse 5, the Bible says there's a man named Stephen. And it says in this, and when they said, please the whole gathering, and they chose Stephen, a man who was full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. How about when an Ethiopian eunuch started reading the Bible and he didn't know what any of it meant? And then God, through the Holy Spirit, told a guy named Philip, go over and explain it to him. In Acts chapter 8, verse 29, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. How about in Acts chapter 9, when the description of what a Spirit-filled church in Israel looks like? In verse 31, it says, the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Israel and Samaria had peace and was being built up. And walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, it multiplied. How about in Acts chapter 10, where in the midst of a vision, God comes to Peter and says, I want you to go see a Gentile named Cornelius, and I want you to introduce Cornelius, a Gentile, outside of the Jewish faith, to Jesus Christ. And so you and I as Gentiles have salvation because the Holy Spirit got involved. How about in Acts chapter 11, when the church began to spread beyond the borders of Jerusalem and what was at that time a Roman-ruled Israel alone? The Bible says in Acts chapter 11, verse 22, the report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And when he came and he saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. How about the missionary journeys of Paul, the missionary journeys of the church that would allow the church to grow and to expand and the kingdom of God to advance on earth as it is in heaven? In Acts chapter 13, verses 2 through 5, the Bible says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, I want to be in that prayer service where the Holy Spirit starts talking. Like these people were so desperate for God to move, so willing to not let their battery blink any longer, so wanting to plug into the same source of strength that fueled the life and ministry of Jesus, that the Holy Spirit started talking in their prayer meeting. And the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and they sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogue of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. Church family, I think the takeaway today is this. If you're in Christ Jesus, you have the power from the Holy Spirit, which enables you to engage the ministry and the mission of God. And that power has purpose. So what are you doing with it? Because here's what I know. In this room, this morning, with this many, some of your batteries are blinking. Like you've been flailing, chopping away. But you're exhausted. Because you failed to tap in to the source of strength that fueled the life and ministry of Christ. I mean, again, you don't have to put your hands up because I'm not going to put you on the spot. But how many of you, if you were being honest this morning, would just say, "My battery's flashing. I'm tired. I need the same power that resurrected Christ from the grave to resurrect my marriage, to resurrect my mental health. I need the same fuel that empowered the life and ministry of Jesus to fuel me as I seek to minister to a child who is far from God. I need that same source of strength that enabled Christ to die a sinner's death and rise in victory for the salvation of the world, to help me overcome temptation that is leading me to recurring sin. My battery is blinking. I'm tired. I'm moving around. I'm banging into stuff. I'm making a lot of noise. But I'm not plugged into the source of strength, and I need to be." See, here's what I love. I read this a moment ago in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. When Peter, James, and John got arrested for preaching Christ, so then they got threatened. Do you remember? Like they got beat up and then they got threatened and they said, "Hey, don't talk about this Jesus anymore. It's not going to go well for you." And in my mind's eye, they left that meeting, you know, having been threatened on the heels of just getting out of jail, and they must have smirked. And they were like, "Let's go back to the upper room. I bet everybody's waiting on us." And so they do. They go back to the upper room, and there's a prayer service, like a worship service taking place. And in verse 31, I read this to you a moment ago. I want to draw your attention to something significant. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with boldness. I don't know about you, church. I want to be so filled with the Holy Spirit of God that not only am I preaching the word of God with boldness, as should you, but that my life and my family and my ministry and our church and your families and these first graders and your grandchildren are shaken. Don't you want to be shook up for all the right reasons? Because we get shook up for the wrong ones all the time. See, I think the Holy Spirit of God needs to shake some things up in here today. And I think some of us, in just a moment, you need to give your life to Christ. You need to receive this power that Jesus has promised. Others of you, you have come to Christ, but you're just banging around the walls, making a bunch of noise, and failing to tap into the source of strength that God has made available for you. And so maybe you need to get at this altar and you just need to pray. Grab the hand of your spouse. Grab the hand of a friend from Life Group. Come talk to one of our staff. Maybe you'd say, "Hey, I'm all in with Preston Wood. Okay, I get it. This is the place that God wants us to call our home. And so today is the day when you need to join our church." Or maybe like those three brave souls that got in the water of the baptistry this morning, you would say, "Jesus has done a good work on the inside. It's time for me to show it to the world on the out." And so you need to be baptized. Well, whatever it is, I'm giving you an invitation to respond. Let's be shaken. Let's be so filled with the Holy Spirit of God that our world gets shaken. And when other people look and see, we would recognize there is a power source that is not our own, and the purpose is to advance the mission of our God. Because there's no way for us to do everything entrusted to us if it's simply about us and resting on us. So let's get a hold of that power and let's beg God alone to provide it to you and to me. Father, in Jesus' name, as we enter into this time of invitation and our worship response, I pray, Lord, that you would give boldness in this room right now. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would fall in this place, right here, right now. I pray if there be anyone here, God, who is far from you and needing to be brought near, that you would send them your Spirit right now and bring in them the gift of salvation. God, I pray for people today whose battery is flashing. I pray that they would come and get at this altar and plug into the source of strength. God, I thank you that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave can resurrect anything in our life as well. And so, Lord, we commit this time of invitation to you. We pray in your good and powerful name, in Jesus' name, amen.